In the entire room, 7 hands, including the pastor's, went up. I was stunned. I had long ago passed out the ones I had brought with me. Now what was I to leave with these people so eager to learn, so needful of guidance in the hard walk they had chosen for themselves against the millions marching the other way? With the pastor, we worked out a system of Bible sharing, a schedule of group study combined with individual use, so many hours on such and such a day for each member. But that same evening, a resolve was born in me, a resolve that has burned brighter with each passing year. That night, I promised God that as often as I could lay my hands on a Bible, I would bring it to these children of His behind the wall that men had built. How I would buy the Bibles, how I would get them in, I didn't know. I only knew that I would bring them, here to Yugoslavia and to Czechoslovakia, and to every other country where God opened the door long enough for me to slip through. Chapter 11. The Third Prayer. Driving through the countryside of Western Europe on the way back to Holland, I tried to evaluate the trip I had just finished. I had been gone more than 7 weeks. I had travelled nearly 6,000 miles, held nearly 100 meetings, established scores of contacts for future work. Most important were the conversions, hundreds of them. New Christians, men and women and children who were actually living in the kingdom of God, while at the same time living under a government that said there was no God. What was their life going to be like now? It was hard, leaving these friends to face pressures and sacrifices that I could only guess at. As for my determination to bring them Bibles, in the clear light of this May morning it looked a lot harder than it had in the flush of conviction that night in Belgrade. In 1957 there was not a single communist border over which you could take books of any kind, let alone religious books. How was I to get them in? How was I to distribute them once inside without endangering those who helped me? Which country needed them most? Which should I try first? All these questions bounced back and forth in my mind as I rolled mile after mile across Europe, ever closer to home. No, I corrected myself. Not home. To Vitte, certainly, but in one of those strange flashes of self-knowledge, I realized suddenly that Vitte was no longer home to me. That was why I'd been driving so slowly, stopping so frequently to check my maps, talking crops with every farmer I met. With a start, I realized that ever since I had left Yugoslavia, I had been dawdling, stalling for time against the inevitable moment when I would be alone again in my bachelor's room. After Papa's death, I had moved out of the house and into his little room above the tool shed. It had seemed such a practical idea. The room had a separate entrance, and I could come and go without disturbing the household.